Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline USA. Tony Kornheiser, Michael Wilbon says you've not gotten a big head now that you're a big star.
Michael Wilbon's a moron.
Well, I know it's a mutual love situation, but the bottom line is you guys have created an interesting relationship. You're not getting married any day soon, but we love your show.
You know, it's interesting you say that we're not getting married any day soon. The smartest review I ever saw of PTI was written by a woman in a weekly newspaper in Santa Fe, New Mexico, called Pasa Tiempo. And she said the show was about marriage. She said that ultimately it was about a married couple arguing, but you could tell that they loved each other even though they argued. And when I read it, I thought, that's really smart. That's probably exactly what the show is about.
It's beautiful to watch you, too. And Tony, it's interesting to see the evolution of media, which we talk about on the show. We had Bob Costas on Tuesday to talk about it. But from your perspective, there's a lot of pressure to go from writer to a telegenic talking head, if you will, to somebody who's sort of a cult hero on Monday Night Football. What's that been like for you?
Well, I don't think there's any pressure. I mean, you get opportunities because of what you've done in one field. Somebody in another field sees you. I mean, I'd be the last person to be described as telegenic in the United States of America. I mean, Brad Pitt and George Clooney are telegenic. I'm a fat, bald dope who's on television yodeling every once in a while. The PTI is great, and I love it, and it's easy to do, and it's fun to do. Every single day we do it. In just a few minutes, we'll start taping today's show. I'm in Seattle, and Wilbon is back in Washington, D.C. Monday Night Football is different. It's first of all, it's not a television show. It's a radio show. It's a three-hour game on radio, and occasionally there are pictures of the people who are doing the announcing, but very occasionally. I doubt that we're on screen. If that's a three-hour program, I doubt we're on screen for 5 minutes. You know, so you don't really necessarily have to be telegenic. It's harder than I thought. It's more time-consuming than I thought, and I'm worse at it than I thought. Other than that, it's anybody's guess.
But don't you feel, Tony, the pressure and the sense of having to have a quick analysis in the moment early in the game?
No, because that's not my job. I mean, I feel the pressure of the most difficult thing for me is getting in. It's not having something to say, it's getting in. I'm the third person, and I'm always going to be the third person unless they change the entire way the game is produced. I'm the third guy. So, I mean, occasionally I have nothing to say, and they look at me, and I just shrug my shoulders, and I have nothing to say. I think people get in trouble when they think they have to say something. There's a game going on. There's visual images on the screen. You don't have to talk all the time. It's the difference. I mean, ask guys that went from doing radio broadcasts of baseball to television broadcasts of baseball, and they really had to change because stuff was in front of them. I think most good ones talk about 30% less when they're doing television.
Tony, one of the things that has separated you and Wilbon, your moronic friend, as you would describe
him. Well, if he said that I had a big head, he's an imbecile.
No, I asked him if you'd gotten one. He said you hadn't. He said that you've been humbled by the intelligence, the preparation, the kind of work ethic that most of the players that you've come to know in the last few months in the NFL have.
I thought players were idiots. I mean, I think athletes are dopes, by and large. And in interviewing, because you have two production meetings. You have one Saturday with the home team. You have one Sunday with the visitors. And I grant you that if they bring in four or five players out of a full roster of 53, then maybe you're getting the smartest ones. But I've really been impressed with the study habits of football players, with how much they have to know compared to other athletes in other sports. And I've changed my tune completely about them. I'm so impressed by how hard the work is to get on the football field. It's just much harder than basketball and much harder than baseball. What I mean by that is the homework and the sort of intellectual component of the game. It's just much harder.
We just got a few minutes, but Tony, I thought we'd have some fun and just take you through your perception, given what you just said, of four key players. The first three are the quarterbacks that so many people talk about this year. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and a guy named Matt Leinart. And the fourth is a guy from the Chicago game against Arizona, Brian Urlacher, who always seems to be, like a Teddy Bruschi, in the right place at the right time. Tell me what you've seen in terms of this newfound respect for the preparation and the discipline, starting first with Tom Brady.
Well, Brady is the golden boy. I mean, Brady's got three rings. Whatever else you want to say about Brady, whatever his stats are in comparison, say, to Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning has no rings, and Tom Brady has three. And he was able to go out there, essentially as a rookie, I believe in his second year, when Drew Bledsoe got hurt, and led his team all the way and won the Super Bowl. It's like the classic understudy story of all time. So I have enormous respect for a guy being in the right place in the right time and making the most of it. And as I've said on TV a bunch of times, he's got the hot girlfriend, so that's good.
That always helps. And then what about Peyton Manning? Many people now, including myself, believe that this is clearly a more complete Peyton Manning, sort of like a Mozart who has understood all the instruments on the field and also the things that can go wrong. It seems as if he's more ready than ever.
Well, you know, you played football. I didn't, and I don't know that. He's a great player, and he was a great player in college where he never won the national championship, and I don't think ever beat Florida either. He's a great player in the NFL, an MVP player who's never gotten to the final game. So however good he is, there's two things you can learn from this. One is that you can't do it alone. And two is that, you know, his career, if he never wins a Super Bowl, his career will be judged in the way that people like Dan Marino's careers are judged, and they'll be found to have a hole in the resume. And no matter what his individual numbers are, he's never going to be considered the equal to, say, Joe Montana. I mean, that's sad and perhaps unfair, but that's the way of life.
And what about his boss, Tony Dungy? Do you think Tony is getting the kind of respect he deserves? It's always about the intelligence of a Peyton Manning, Tony Kornheiser, but what about his boss?
Oh, well, I mean, didn't he invent that entire defense that everybody in the league uses now at Tampa Bay? Didn't he invent the cover two? Doesn't Mike Tomlin, the coordinator for Minnesota, doesn't he call it the Dungy two? I mean, I think Tony Dungy will be very honored. I think that people will have enormous sympathy for him because of what happened in his family last year. But again, as with everybody else, coach or player, if they're going to give away one trophy at the end of the year, you got to win it.
And you're working towards a trophy when you know you're always going to be compared against a guy named Howard Cosell. You know, my first game was for the Patriots in 1978, Sunday night, primetime, with Frank Gifford, Dandy Don Meredith, and Howard Cosell.
Right.
Do you feel that there is something to be learned from the role that he took in that situation with the other two personalities?
Well, I'm never going to be as good. I'm never going to do it as long as he did it. I'm never going to be as good as him. I'm not as smart as him. I would never be as bombastic as him. I mean, I'm just not. You know, anytime people compare me even unfavorably to Cosell, I'm sort of pleased because I think he's the best whoever did it. But, you know, you have to have magic in a booth. I think that people who watch PTI understand that Wilbon and I have that. And you just can't manufacture it in 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 games. Tirico and Theismann and I were thrown together. And it's how whatever it is now, it'll probably get better, but it doesn't happen instantaneously. It just doesn't.
Okay, I asked you about Peyton Manning. I asked you about Brady. What about a Leinart versus an Urlacher? You know, a very different thing. We just got a minute left in this segment. Who do you think is the guy that prepares better?
I don't know about preparation. Urlacher is an all-pro for many, many years, and he's a better player at his position now than Leinart is. 5 years from now, maybe Leinart will be as good as a quarterback as Urlacher is as a linebacker, but Urlacher looks like a Hall of Fame guy right now.
Well, we appreciate you joining us, Tony, as always. We love the job that you're doing, and you know what? You're a big improvement over who they've had the last couple years by a long shot.
That's very kind. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Right.
Appreciate it. Have a good one. When we come back, we're going to talk with Howard Balzer around the NFL. That was Tony Kornheiser. Remember, pardon the interruption, if you want to have intelligent discussion on the NFL, that's the best place to go. We'll be right back with Howard Balzer, USA Today. You're listening to Head Games Radio on the Sports Byline Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122.